Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Boomerang Travels in the New Third World is a nonfiction book by Michael Lewis that examines the global fallout from the credit boom and financial crisis of the 2000s. Rather than focusing only on the United States, Lewis travels through countries and regions such as Iceland, Greece, Ireland, Germany, and California to show how cheap money, weak oversight, and local habits combine to create distinct but related crises. The book is built as a reporting-driven travelogue, using short country-specific chapters to connect economic analysis with cultural observation. Its purpose is not to provide a technical history of the crisis, but to explain why different societies borrowed, lent, and speculated the way they did, and why the consequences spread across borders. As a result, it works both as accessible financial journalism and as a broader commentary on the behavior of governments, banks, and citizens under conditions of easy credit. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how easy credit turned national weaknesses into financial crises. The central idea of the book is that cheap financing did not simply amplify existing economic strength. It exposed deep weaknesses in institutions and public behavior. Lewis shows that when borrowing became unusually easy, countries and regions with very different histories still fell into similar patterns of overconfidence, leverage, and denial. The key insight is that credit is not neutral. It rewards whatever incentives already exist, including poor risk assessment, weak regulation, and a willingness to postpone hard choices. In that sense, the book treats the 2008 crisis as a global stress test, where discipline was weak, money flowed into speculation or government excess, and where oversight failed, losses were socialized later. Lewis does not present the crisis as a single event caused by one market failure. Instead, he argues that the availability of cheap money made it possible for flaws that had long been hidden to become visible at the same time, in many places and in different forms. Secondly, country-by-country reporting reveals different paths to the same collapse. One of the book's defining methods is its chapter-by-chapter movement across countries, which allows Lewis to compare crises without reducing them to a single formula. Iceland, Ireland, Greece, Germany, and California are not treated as interchangeable examples. Each place receives a distinct explanation shaped by local politics, social norms, and financial structures. This structure matters because it prevents the reader from seeing the crisis only through American banking. Instead, the book shows how sovereign debt, banking systems, property markets, and public budgets can all become unstable through different routes. The reporting style also makes the economic material easier to grasp. By anchoring each case in a location and a set of institutions, Lewis turns abstract finance into a series of legible failures. The result is less a textbook and more a comparative anatomy of bubble behavior, where the reader can see both the common mechanism and the local variation that determines how it unfolds. Thirdly, cultural habits and national character as financial forces. Lewis is especially interested in the idea that finance is shaped by culture, not just by numbers. In Boomerang, national habits around trust, rule-breaking, ambition, and public responsibility become part of the explanation for why bubbles grow so large. This does not mean the book offers a scientific theory of national character. Rather, it uses cultural observation to show how financial behavior is normalized within a society. In Greece, for example, the issue is not only government debt, but also the social tolerance for evasion and manipulation. In Iceland, the speed and confidence of the boom reflect a small society that became unusually bold in global finance. In Germany, Lewis focuses on the contradictions of a creditor nation that wants both moral order and financial advantage. These portraits are provocative, sometimes funny, and often deliberately sharp. But they serve a practical purpose. They show that markets are embedded in social habits. A financial system can fail more easily when a population has learned to accept risk, concealment, or opportunism as normal. Fourthly, the book explains sovereign debt and banking risk through accessible narrative, although the subject matter is complex. The book is designed to make financial mechanisms understandable for general readers. Lewis explains sovereign debt crises, banking collapses, leverage, and investor behavior by showing how they function in real settings rather than defining them in abstract terms. That approach is one of the book's strengths. A reader does not need a background in economics to follow why banks borrowed too much, why governments guaranteed too much, or why international investors chased higher returns despite obvious danger. Lewis often reveals the logic of a crisis by tracing who was willing to lend, who was willing to borrow, and who assumed someone else would absorb the loss. This narrative method is especially effective when dealing with systemic risk because it makes clear that failure is usually distributed across many actors rather than caused by a single villain. The book therefore works as an introduction to crisis dynamics, even while remaining accessible and sharply written. Lastly, why the book pairs humor with criticism of markets and institutions. A distinctive feature of Boomerang is Lewis's use of humor, irony, and memorable detail to criticize serious failures in finance and governance. The book is not dry policy writing. It relies on vivid phrasing and sometimes absurd observations to keep the reader engaged, while also making the failures of banks, regulators, and political systems feel concrete. This style matters because it changes the tone of financial criticism. Instead of treating the crisis as an invisible technical accident, Lewis makes it look like a human comedy of arrogance, groupthink, and self-deception. That can be entertaining, but it also sharpens the analysis. Humor becomes a way of exposing irrational behavior without softening its consequences. The book is also somewhat episodic and less tightly synthesized than some readers may expect, which means its arguments emerge through accumulation rather than through one grand conclusion. Even so, this fragmented form suits the subject. The crisis itself was not neat. And the book mirrors that disorder while still showing how greed and denial repeatedly overwhelmed caution. In conclusion, Boomerang is best suited for readers who want to understand the financial crisis as a global phenomenon rather than a purely American one. It will be especially useful for readers interested in economics, journalism, public policy, and narrative nonfiction, but it does not require specialist training. The book offers intellectual value by translating abstract ideas such as leverage, sovereign debt, and credit bubbles into concrete national case studies. It also helps readers see how financial systems interact with culture, politics, and institutional design, which makes its lessons broader than a standard crisis chronicle. What makes it stand out in the genre is Michael Lewis's combination of sharp reporting and accessible storytelling. Unlike more technical books on economics, it is built around vivid reporting and comparative observation. Unlike purely journalistic crisis narratives, it keeps circling back to the deeper question of why so many different societies behaved in such similar and damaging ways when money became cheap. That mix of clarity, humor, and cross-border perspective gives the book a lasting place among accounts of the 2008 era. If you would like to support Michael Lewis, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.